Open your Bible once again to Psalm 90, and you should have a note sheet, outline note sheet. If you didn't get one, you can wave your hand, and Marvin out there has them in the lobby. Anybody missing a note sheet, just so you can kind of follow along and keep up with me tonight a little bit, if you would. I guess everybody's got one. Good. All right, Psalm 90, we've heard it read. Back in 2015, I turned 70 years old, so you can figure out how old I am now. And my wife and I went to the Philippines in the fall of that year, early October. And we were there through March of 2016. That was our longest stay in the Philippines. And by the way, for those of you that have been praying for BGMBC, they are still functioning, mostly all online. They're still unable to have very much in the way of gatherings, classes, and so on. But even the missionaries that are here in the country that haven't been able to go back are teaching remotely. So they're continuing on as best they can through this whole situation. Obviously, we couldn't go back for various reasons because of COVID. But anyway, we were there, and I was preparing this message from Psalm 90 for a BGMBC chapel service. Some point early in the beginning of 2016, I was doing some reading and looking at things, and I came across an article or blog, whatever it was, and it struck me, since I had just fairly recently turned 70 years old, this author pointed out there were three people in my age bracket who were wanting to take on the hardest job in all the world. And I remember this is the beginning of 2016, so think back with me what was going on in the beginning of 2016. Well, he pointed out that Hillary Clinton was going to turn 69 that year. Bernie Sanders had turned 75. And Donald Trump was going to turn 70 that year. And these were the three who were sort of the front runners trying to, you know, running for president, wanting to spend the next 4 to 8 years doing the most difficult job of any person in this universe. Well, this man was a Christian, and so he was making some observations from that particular situation was going on. And here's what he said. They only get to be president of a tiny territory called the USA. I get to be an ambassador of the sovereign of the universe. They only get to try to change the way some people live for a few years. I get to be involved in changing the way some people live forever, and with a whole lot of good spillover for this world in the process. Well, I thought that was a pretty good perspective that he had based on what was going on. This psalm, Psalm 90, actually refers to a certain age. He talks about 70 or 80 years. This psalm is a prayer of Moses, someplace around 1400 BC. Some commentators put it at 1405 BC when Moses would have prayed this particular prayer. We know it had to be close to that because they were getting ready now to apparently go into the promised land. But think about what's happened in the years prior to this, as Moses writes this, and he writes about the frailty of man and how we should be counting our days, think what he's come out of. They just spent 38 years burying an average of over 100 people a day in the wilderness, as the older generation all died off before they could go into the promised land. So man's transitory nature was very vivid in his mind as the Lord has him write this psalm. And so this is what we want to think about today, especially verses 10 through 12 are really our text tonight, and we're going to get to those in some detail in just a minute. But I want you to realize the first part of the psalm is, I would put it this way, it speaks of God and his majestic eternity, as Ken mentioned. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That's that majestic eternity of our God. And then he contrasts our frailty with God's eternity in verses 3 through 6. God swiftly turns man back to dust. 1,000 years roll by and it's nothing to him. That's the contrast that's made here between his eternity and our temporary nature. And I want you to notice carefully in verses 7 through 9, our brevity, and this, you know, this may sound morbid. This may not be very, this may not be what you would preach if you're trying to attract a big crowd, but God says our brevity is because of his anger at sin. That's why we don't live very long. Because we're under this, I mean, the whole creation groans and travails under the curse of sin. Now, thank the Lord, we can be redeemed from sin for eternity, but does that save us from all the effects of it here? No, certainly doesn't, does it? It's been brought home to me, to us recently. We've had two men for whom I performed their wedding ceremonies who have died of COVID. One of them yesterday on Christmas Day, a man in his early 50s. Dude, that brings it right down home. I mean, that really makes you realize how transitory this life is. And that's all because, look at the verses 7 through 10 just for a minute, 7 through 9. We are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before us, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end with a sigh. This life is not easy under this creation that is under the curse for anyone. So then comes our text, verses 10 through 12. Verse 10, our days are limited, if you please, just to be very brief about it, and we'll get back to these in more detail. The lifespan that Moses mentions here, still about the same today, 3,400 years later. By the way, do you realize that in 2020, this is designed to depress you, okay? No, not really. The lifespan in the United States in 2020 went down by a year and a half. Now, did that depress you enough? Can we start building now and look at better things? But that's what the statistics tell us. We think we're doing so great, you know. Boy, we're living longer and longer, and yeah, that's been true. But in 2020, and 2021, of course, isn't done yet. They're saying it's probably going to be about steady, not going to change very much. But our lifespan actually went down in 2020. Now, I don't know what the future is going to bring, but even if you live, as my dad did, 103 years, that's still just a very brief period of time in comparison to eternity. And then that piercing question in verse 11. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? Do we really fathom that the brevity of life reflects God's judgment on man because of sin? I'm not talking about individual sin that's, you know, somebody has committed this sin. And I mean, God could do that if he wanted to, but I'm talking about the general curse of sin on all of creation. That's why our lives are so brief. Having considered this, Moses petitions the Lord. And you'll notice in verses 12 through 17, there are actually six petitions in this psalm. Look at them just briefly with me. Verse 12 we'll talk about. The petition that we may get a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Verse 13, have pity on your servants. Verse 14, satisfy. By the way, here's a good verse for your morning devotions. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. There's a good prayer when you start your devotion time every morning. Lord, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. Verse 13, make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we see evil. Verse 16, let your words be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. And finally, verse 17, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish. So there are six petitions that Moses offers the Lord in light of this contrast, if you please, between his eternity, our frailty. Moses is not the only one that points this out, by the way. If you look at Psalm 39, David talked about this same theme of the temporary nature of God, of man. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. O Lord, make me know my end. What is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days as a few handbreadths. The handbreadth was the shortest measure they had in that day. And my lifetime is as nothing before you. Wow. That kind of humbles you, doesn't it? You think, well, I thought I was pretty important. Well, before the Lord, we're just a handbreadth. Paul talked about it in Ephesians. We walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. James talked about it. He said our life is like a what? A vapor or a mist. Just poof, and it's gone. So let's look at these three truths in verses 10, 11, and 12, and then we'll make some application. Number one, our days are few, verse 10. However long we live, whether it's 70, 80, George is at 86 now, he says. Anybody past George? I think George probably gets the prize tonight at 86. However many years it is, it's still few in comparison, isn't it? And he says, the days of our life, 70 or 80, their span is but toil and trouble, and they're soon gone. I did a little counting up yesterday. If I was going to number my days, I would have now 27,820 days old. That's how old I am. Maybe we should start doing that. How old are you? Well, that's what the Lord says. We're supposed to count our days. He didn't say count your years. By the way, my wife's birthday today. How old is my wife? Well, she's 27,759 days. Now, what does that tell you about her? Well, nothing really, does it? But see, that's what the Lord is saying. We can easily count those. That's not very hard, really, compared to the eternity of God. Job said, man is born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. He comes out like a flower, withers, flees like a shadow, and continues not. That's not very flattering either, is it? But that's our nature. That's what we are. When Israel rebelled at Kadesh Barnea, rebelled about going into the promised land, Numbers tells us that there were 603,550 males 20 and older in the nation at that time. Now, if you extrapolate a little bit, you can figure there were at least that many females, probably some older ones who weren't able to go to war or be prepared for battle, whatever. So there had to be close to 1.5 million people who were going to die off before they went into the promised land. I mention that because that's where I got the number. Over the next 38, remember they've already been out of Egypt for a while. They've been, you know, a couple of years getting to Kadesh Barnea, however long it was, we don't know exactly, but probably close to that. So for another 38 years, they're going to wander in the wilderness till all of this older generation dies off. That means they're burying somewhere close to 110 people every day of the week, day in and day out, for 38 years. And Moses comes along and says, guess what? Life is pretty short. No wonder he had that perspective. God had pronounced that judgment on them because of that sin. You know, in Yosemite Park out in California, how many of you have seen the giant sequoias in Yosemite Park? Yeah, absolutely magnificent. Some of those trees, they say, are over 2,000 years old. Were little trees when Christ was on earth. Many years ago, a park ranger who had some sense about him, apparently, got a plaque and erected it there by one of those groves of these magnificent trees. And it reads thus, in the presence of such majesty, well may fretting man pause to ponder values and consider the ironic limitations of 70 years and 10. In other words, he was saying, you look at these, I mean, these are trees, and it ought to humble us to consider our limitation, the shortness of our life. So whatever days we have, we notice, letter B, are set by God. Verse 10 makes that very clear. That what Moses is saying here is that if we live 75, 80 years, whatever it is, it's set by God. David said, my times are in your hands. Ecclesiastes says there's a time to be born, a time to die. Pretty clear. God is in charge of our life and our death. So, an important part of numbering our days is recognizing that God gives life, who gives life is sovereign over when it ends also. So, Moses knew that. Moses had been instructed in that by vivid illustration over the last 38 years. And as we come to 2022, if we're going to have a heart of wisdom, That is to fear God and to bow in submission to His sovereignty over our life and the end of our life. We must learn to count our days, number our days. We also find out our time on earth generally ends in death. The last part of verse 10. Their span is but toil and trouble. They're soon gone and we fly away. I say generally because there will be a generation, as we know, that will be taken up in the rapture. They will not experience death. But most of us, and of course we'd all like to be the part of that generation, right? That'd be great. But we don't know when it's going to be. Could be tonight, could be tomorrow, could be 100 years or 1,000 years from now. But the point is, whatever God has for us, we have an appointment with death. It's appointed unto man, wants to die. And then we're going to face the Lord, of course. I don't know if you've thought about how many people have died. I did some looking yesterday. I don't know if you trust these places or not, but according to the research I did, we're now up to about 5.4 million people have died of COVID over the last 20 months. Now, you can be suspicious of that number. I'm suspicious of it. I'll tell you why I'm suspicious of it. Because the same source that said that China, that gives you a breakdown by countries, China has had 4,663 deaths by COVID. Now, if you believe that, I've got some land in Alaska I'd like to sell you. I'll just tell you right now. But anyway, the point is, somewhere around 5.4 million people have died. Now, that's a lot of people. I think, man, must be the end of the world. I would challenge you sometime. We're at starting 2022 here pretty soon. I would challenge you to go back and research the first 20 years of the 20th century and see how many people died in catastrophic events in the first 20 years of the 1900s. This pales in comparison. What my point is, folks, don't equate COVID with the end of the world or whatever you're thinking, man, this is it. I don't know if it is or not, but it's been much worse than this other times. World War I, we lost 20 million people, World War I. Spanish flu, following right after World War I, somewhere around 50 million people died in the world. That's why I'm saying, as bad as this is, there's been much worse times even than this. So, verse 11, our days are few. Whatever days we live, verse 10 tells us, that's a brief life, and most of us are going to experience death. Verse 11 tells us our world is filled with trouble. I mentioned Job. Job spoke of this. Job 14 and verse 1. Man is born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. Moses speaks of this here in Psalm 90. Because of man's sin and rebellion and condemnation, we experience all of this. Man is not exempt from that curse on the creation. Paul's day. Notice this is, I think, in your notes, Romans chapter 8 and verse 22. In Paul's day, Paul said, this whole creation, do you hear the groaning? Yeah, I'm telling you, Romans 8:22 is almost describes our society. The whole creation groans and travails. I mean, people are just, they don't know what to do. And there's indication that there's probably been as many deaths by other things because of isolation and all the things that have gone on, drug overdoses, abuse, all kinds of things that are happening. This creation is groaning and travailing, just like Paul said, because of the curse of sin. Verse 11 is very important. Moses says the right response to a troubled world is not to explain it away or blame some politician for it. It's to ascribe it, or to ascribe it just to some chance. The right response, verse 11 tells us, is to recognize this is God's wrath on a sinful world and learn to live in the fear of God. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? We want to blame somebody for whatever it is we experience, but Moses tells us this is God. Now, again, that's not very popular. I understand that. And people say, oh, man, a loving God wouldn't do that. Yes, he does. Because of our rebellion. We tend to forget how short is life and how certain is death. Verse 12. It's interesting that Moses sets the example for us of praying that he'd remember to number his days. And we number a lot of things. Some people may like to check the number in their bank accounts or their retirement accounts or whatever, you know, and see how they're doing. There are some people who are all enamored with cars and they like to number the CCs or the horsepower or whatever they've got in their car. You know, that's a big thing to them. Some people count their days till retirement. You know anybody like that? I've been teasing one man here, he's not here tonight, so about that, just kind of jokingly so, but he can tell you how many months and days he has till retirement. So we number a lot of things. But do we think about our days, numbering our days? You know, here's the thing about it. A sailor does not have to pray, let this compass point north. He knows it's going to do it every time. The farmer doesn't have to pray, Lord, help me remember to plant those seeds. He's done it. He's going to do it. I mean, it's just built into it. He's not going to forget that. When was the last time you prayed, Lord, let the sun come up? It's going to happen. But we need to pray this way because we tend not to do it. Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to remember how temporary we are, how frail we are, how short this span is. So our response in verse 12. Remembering that life is short and death is certain causes us to live in view of eternal values. So as we number our days and we ask the Lord, remind me, Lord, teach me to number my days that we may get a heart of wisdom. What is a heart of wisdom? A heart of wisdom is living in the fear of God and for eternal values. We'll seek that true wisdom in fearing God. We'll realize we don't have time to waste. I'm not saying you don't ever relax and have some downtime, but just to waste time is not a part of what we should do. An unsafe person. If there happens to be anyone here tonight, the first act of sanity for you is to repent and trust Christ as your Savior, because life is short and death is certain. There's a man by the name of John Beekman, some years ago now, graduated from Moody Bible Institute. He was told by doctors that he had a defect in his heart and he probably wasn't going to live very long. This was before they were doing a lot of these things, and they told him the only way you're going to live at all is to put a plastic valve in. One of your valves is bad. And of course, nowadays they do this, you know, almost routinely. But this was, in fact, there were two who had survived this surgery before him. And he was the third one they did it on, the third one that survived it anyway. And they made a movie of this, and they called it Survivor Number 3. And so he did survive the surgery. But he and his wife were ones who, by their own testimony, they had taken this verse, and they wanted to count their days, and they wanted to make their days count for the Lord. And so John and his wife, after he'd recovered from surgery, went to the jungles of southern Mexico. So some people called the Chol Indians, C-H-O-L Indians. This was a remote area, paganism all the way through. And they immersed themselves in that ministry. They were able to reduce the language to a written language. They translated the Bible into this language. They won many of these people to the Lord. And they literally transformed this group of Indians from all the barbaric kind of things that were going on into a decent, civilized group of people. But his testimony was, I wanted my days to count. I wanted to count my days, and I wanted my days to count. And that's what they wound up doing by the grace of God. Because he counted his days and applied himself to eternal values. Living this way is important also because we're going to give an account of those days. God is going to ask us, if you please, we're going to give an account of how we've used what days God has given us. You say, well, he doesn't give us all the same amount of days. No, and he knows that. His accounting is going to be based on what he's given us. To whom much is given. If he gives you many days, then you have more to account for. Now, I'd like to take these thoughts and just draw some conclusions tonight and some practical application from this other passage in your notes there, Ephesians chapter 5. I do this because here's a passage that, as succinctly as any place in Scripture, I think, gives us some practical ways to apply our hearts to wisdom for 2022. So in Ephesians chapter 5, if you can turn there, verses 15 through 21. And I'm just going to note these. You can fill in those blanks if you choose to. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So see, here it is, walking in wisdom. But the point here is walking carefully in the wisdom or the fear of God. I heard a preacher many years ago who had been in World War II, and he described, he was preaching on this verse, and he used the illustration. He had been in Europe and he had gone through minefields. And he described how you go through a minefield. Very vivid. I've never forgotten the illustration. How you have to work your way through a minefield and you have to check every, square inch almost, and then you follow each other through when you get the path and so on. That's walking. The King James uses the word circumspectly. And that was his illustration of circumspectly, walking very carefully. Folks, we live in a world of minefields, don't we? For the believer, there's things that can blow you up all over the place. And we need to walk very carefully in this fallen, sin-cursed world. Verse 16, carefully use each day. Paul says, making the best use of time because the days are evil. So we carefully use each day because those days are filled with evil many times. Verse 17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I put it this way, find the will of God for you and do it. You figure out, you find the will of God for you and then do it. And don't give up and don't quit. Verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Willingly surrender to the Holy Spirit's control, not the control of anyone or anything else. Willingly surrender to the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with all your heart. Worship God together in song. Worship God together in songs. Verse 20, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. Be thankful. Practice thanksgiving. Be thankful. Be a thankful people. Verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Being submissive to one another in our relationships. Being submissive. Now that little paragraph, I think as succinctly as anything in Scripture, gives us the outline for applying our hearts to wisdom, that we may walk not as unwise, but as wise. And if we will pray, Lord, teach us to number our days. We need to be taught that. That's what Moses is saying and praying. We don't naturally do that. But if we will, then we will apply our hearts. We will find wisdom in living in the fear of God. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this reminder. Thank you for the opportunity of understanding our frailty before an eternal God. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to number our days so that we would apply our hearts and find wisdom that you promise us. You've promised we ask you for wisdom, you'll give it. Lord, help us to do as you said here, numbering our days, realizing our temporary nature, that we would live wisely as you have instructed us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness through this year as we look forward to a new year. May we truly be a people to whom you're teaching and giving wisdom day by day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.